I believe. This is Dr. Herbert O'Barry, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, saying, I believe. And as I was saying, I believe, Rex brought me his play bone, and he wants to play with me. And he says, come on, you don't have to make a talk. You could just play with me. That's much more fun than giving a talk. And I said, Rex, you got your bone, and I got my tape recorder that I give talks with. Well, I believe. Now, what in the world do I believe after all of this frivolity? I've been reading books on improving your eyes and doing things from the physiological point of view and not from the medical point of view. And both sources of information that I'm reading are by medical doctors who are into ophthalmology. And it's very interesting. And both of them point out that truly within the eyes, within our eyes, there are very few of us, very, very few, who have organic problems in our eyes which cause us limited sight. And both of them point out that when the mind can be at rest, when the mind can be at peace, when the mind can be relaxed, the eyesight improves immeasurably. And Dr. Bates points out that in his research, in his retinoscopy that he looks into the eye with, that he can tell by certain fluctuations within the eye when an eye is unhappy. That is, when you are unhappy, the eye takes on that mood. When you are nervous or upset, the eye takes on that mood. When you are in any way not relaxed, the eye takes on these tensions. And when a patient is very, very relaxed, the eye falls into normal capacity. Now, the normal capacity, we hear 20/20, and we think, how wonderful, 20/20 vision. Wouldn't it be nice for everyone to have 20/20 vision? And you do for most of your life. And then, when you stop living, when you stop being excited about life, when you stop being excited about the world around you, and you start picking it to pieces and start arguing with it and start being upset with it, then your eyesight fails. Now, when does that happen? Well, it doesn't happen to young people. Young people flow with life, and they have a state of constant enthusiasm that they live in. And this state of constant enthusiasm keeps them in a state of balance and harmony and peace and relaxation. Very few who are contrary to that. And most of them are very much balanced and harmonious and relaxed. Like Ellen was saying this morning, Ellen is our CEO here, and she's been with us 30 years now, and she says, you know, every morning when I get up, I feel excited about the day. I don't know what's going to happen. It's going to probably be the same as yesterday, but I'm excited about it. Because every day I'm dealing with new students, I'm dealing with new lessons, I'm dealing with a new awareness that's on the part of my students, and keeping the books and then paying the bills and then doing all the things that go into running the university. She says, it is just a wonderful, happy feeling that I have. I'm excited. Well, now, you can be sure that the need for Ellen to have more perfect eyes becomes less and less every day, because her eyes improve
every day.
And Ellen may have 20/20 vision, but Ellen has nothing. Ellen has nothing whatsoever. As Dr. Bates says, that's only the beginning. Because your eyes have the capacity to do untold things that some people can do, and all people can do it, if they are tuned into it. Your eyes can see out in the stars. You can have infinite vision. You can be a Superman type of thing, you know, see through walls and see everything. And you can see everything that you can see, because your eyes have that capacity. It merely is going back to the statement that we all hear too often. The brain needs to be aware that the eyes can do it. Now, when the brain feels that the eyes have a 20/20 capacity and that's ideal, then the brain operates in that focus. But the mind is always flowing through the brain, flowing into the consciousness, bringing with it many, 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 many more wonderful things. And as it brings all these wonderful things into the awareness of the brain says, but I can't do that. That's beyond my imagination. That's beyond my capacity. That's beyond anything I could do. And what is it saying? What is it saying? It's merely saying that status quo is the best quo. It's the best way to go. And status quo is not the best way to go. Status quo is just static, staying still. Just no progress whatsoever. But as these doctors are pointing out and saying it again and again and again, the capacity to see is as limited as what our ability to think we can see is. We can, if you and I can walk on red hot coals and call them cool wet moss, we have the possibility of generating with our brain, with our mind, with our brain, the ability to recondition our objectivity or responsibility of the body to the external world. And we could have the ability to say of ourselves, I am warm and cozy, and it's below zero. And we could be naked, or we could be just normally clothed outside, and I am warm and cozy, and it's below zero. Now, we have that capacity. If you have the capacity to walk on red-hot coals and call them cool wet moss, you have the capacity to be anywhere and be comfortable with whatever the temperature may be. And you have the capacity to say the rain doesn't fall on you as you're walking along, if such is your case. Or that you're always dry. If the rain falls on you, it's instantly evaporated. You're dry. Whatever circumstances you may go through in your mental attitude about how you're going to handle the situation. And you already have the capacity to travel around the world without an airplane, without cars, without vehicles, and just mentally be where you want to be. And you say, boy, that is a lot of interesting stuff. Yeah, ha, ha, ha. Well, it's true. It's true. You are wherever you think you are. Now, the next step is to have your body be there consciously. To consciously have your body. I think, Sylvia says, I think I'll go visit my sister-in-law. We had such a good time together here. And so she says, should I call her first or not? I'll surprise her. And so Sylvia says, okay, here I go. And pop, like that, she's over visiting Beatrix. And she's talking to Beatrice and saying, hi. And Beatrice says, well, where did you pop in from? And you say, that's right, I just popped in. Just thought I'd visit for an hour or so and then get back to my desk. You know, I got some things to do. And she'd say, well, for goodness sakes, you know. And so then you talk and you chat and you do things. And then you say, well, Beatrice, let me give you a big hug. I'm going to go home now. And so you give her a big hug, and Beatrice feels the big hug, and she says, "Wow, you're something else again." And then, boop, with your body, you're back wherever you chose to be, you know? And is that impossible? No. Is that something that you do sometimes and you don't realize you do it? You know? Is that something you oftentimes do in your dreams? Oh, yes. Yes. Now, where is the impossibility? Why should it be so difficult for us to think of our eyes as having the capacity to do whatever we want to do? Because our eyes project what we believe about ourselves. Our eyes are not the objective thing that we think they are, but they're the subjective thing. They are that which projects into our world what we believe and feel and do. Well, you call burning coals cool wet moss, and then you look at it and you see the cool wet moss and you walk on it, and it's really burning coals, and you know it's burning coals, but you don't know it's burning coals because you call it the cool wet moss. You have given it another name. So we call our eyes perfect with 20/20 vision, and we say, "How wonderful, how wonderful." And then we have glasses or we don't have glasses, and as we wear them, we say, "I need glasses." Well, then you need glasses. Or, "I don't need glasses." Then you don't need glasses. What is it that you're talking about? What is it that you are? Who are you? What sort of a life are you living? Now, Ellen has a big hang-up about her kids over in Lugano, and she's thinking about them now and then, and they call on the phone now and then, and yuck, 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 yuck. Well, Ellen would much rather go over there for an hour or two and sit and visit with them and hug them and tell them how much she loves them and talk to them for a few minutes, and then she says, "Well, sweethearts, I am the happy witch from the north," and poof, I'm off. And so she disappears right in front of them, and they say, "Wow, what a grandma." And they can do it too. But the thing is, why can't she? Now, the thing on Bewitched, you know, the mother disappearing like that, or Samantha doing that, it's not as strange as we think it is. Because people do disappear before our eyes, you know, and we don't realize it. And then we just say, "Well, I guess I just imagined that, you know." And we belittle it or we demean it in some way, trying to say that it's not so when it was actually so. But the day will come when we don't demean and we don't belittle. We just say, "So it is, and so it is." And we're not surprised. Now, where did the great designers get their ideas? Where did the man who first invented the wheel get the idea for the wheel? He had nothing to put the wheel on, you know, but he created a wheel. And isn't that interesting? He was dragging a lean-to or something, or dragging something to carry something that the sticks were dragging on the dirt, and it was not bad. You know, it's like a wheelbarrow without wheels, and hey, that's not too bad, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, and the wheels come along. Okay, now that's cool. Now, how do you attach the wheels? How do you put an axle in there so that the wheels will turn and let the vehicle stand up and roll on it, you know? The axle is as important as the wheel is, you know? And then some guy comes along, "Well, let's get more horsepower on." Okay, we'll attach a horse to it. Well, now, there you got your first horsepower, you know? And then you add more horsepower to it because you got bigger loads you want to carry. And then little by little, you design an engine. Now, the engine from the horse to the engine is quite a major change. Well, now, the mind has a capacity to understand, comprehend, and reveal these things as we're doing in our computers these days. And we are able to do fantastic things. Well, it's seen in the unseen first. In your mind, you have a vision of this, and you can see it. You can see the cool, wet moss lying over the hot coals. You can see the cool, wet moss. But if you can't see it, then you're not going to benefit from it. Now, the same with the engine, the same with the computers, the same with anything. If you can't see it, you don't benefit from it. Now, how are you going to benefit from it? How are you going to enjoy all these wonderful, beautiful things? Well, you enjoy them by knowing that it is done. It is done. And it is who you are. Now, are you ready to really go and enjoy it? Are you ready to pop over and visit your sister-in-law? Are you ready to pop over and visit your kids? Are you ready to go and see your sister and say hi and say bye? You know, stay as long as you want. And when you're ready to go, don't make excuses for going. Just go. Mm-hmm. You see, just go. When you're watching Bewitched, mm-hmm. when the mother wants to go, she goes. She doesn't say, goodbye, I'll see you later. You know, she says, well, I'm on my way. I'm off to Paris. I'm off to have my, you know, to buy some new clothes or whatever. And she doesn't say, may I? She said, would you like to join me? You know, perhaps, but not may I. You see, this is the thing about us. We have the capacity to do all this wonderful, magical thing. And you say, well, Herb, you sure are off on an interesting track. And I say, yes, I am. And let's all start out with having ideal vision. Now, 2020 is not bad for a start, because what it does, it shows us that our eyes are not confronted by tension and anxiety. And when our eyes are not confronted by tension and anxiety, our bodies are not confronted by tension and anxiety. And our lives are not confronted by tension and anxiety. And what do? Everything falls beautifully into place. Now, perhaps we'll write this down, and for lunch we'll say something like steps to alleviating tension and anxiety.
Cool.
Okay. Now, that's our instant illumination at lunch. Are you ready for that?
Yes.
That should be lots of fun. So, have a lovely morning and know that I love you eternally.
I love you.
Thank you.